4. One of them E's. Ezra 4. Any testimonies? I don't think anybody was at Hiles Anderson when we had Bucky Tucker from Bucky, Kentucky. You remember him? Brent had memorized his. A guy named Bill McSpadden. Was he there? I don't think he was. I think he was gone when you went through. Bill McSpadden, funny guy. But he portrayed himself Bucky Tucker from Bucky, Kentucky, as a pastor, and then he had his hair up like this, and he said, I wanted to be a unicorn when I was a little boy. He's a pastor down in Rochester, Indiana. I just can't see him that way, because he was just, man, funny guy. Ezra 4 had a conversation with a healthcare worker who saw my sign, don't trust the experimental vaccine. He said, I'm trying to find people of like-minded. I don't trust it either. So we might see him in church either this Sunday or next Sunday. So, yeah. He used to go to Lighthouse up there in Cedar Lake, but he said, nobody's saying anything about this in church. Yeah, we don't say anything about it either. Yeah. Ezra 4, any testimonies? Testimonies? Yes, sir.
Not a testimony, but I just want to thank the Lord for all his blessings.
Amen. 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 Nobody's stealing your peaches, are they? You got them. I see people with sweet corn, and I thought, wait till a raccoon show up the day before you get ready to pick it. Dad used to put an electric fence about this high. When we didn't have a dog, he'd put about this high to keep the raccoons away. So, yes, sir. Amen.
Good fellowships, doctrinal, good stuff, something we're talking about. Just had a good time, you know?
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. You?
In the day and age in which we live, it's so easy to focus on the very negative things that are happening in our country, particularly people who are older than me, and for me, a person who was drafted into this country. I was born here, but in paper it says, God has been very good to me bringing me here. But in the midst of so many bad things, wrong things, and it's easy to see that aspect so much. At this time, as I drive so much during the week, I pass a lot of people who are selling their vegetables. And
yes. Amen. And they often will put a box down there and say so much money for this, and they expect people to put it in the box, and people do it. Jay's kids and Ashley's kids, they cut firewood, and they put it in bundles and set it by the road, and then there's a little thing to put money in there, and people put it in there. Praise the Lord for that. Dad? Yeah. Yes. Yep. Yeah, she sent us a picture. She was out walking someplace in the woods. She said, what a place to listen to preaching. She listened to somebody on the phone. That's a blessing. I was able to get Larry and Katie to be able to talk to Charlie. He's in the hospital. And so we were able to, not Skype, but Zoom. So, yeah. So they got to talk to him on Thursday and then Saturday. Or today. So today, this afternoon. And Katie's so funny. Charlie, wake up. Charlie, wake up. So, yeah. Yeah, praise the Lord. Okay, anybody else? Anybody else? Okay, Ezra 4. And we'll go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words, and I do pray that when we put forth an effort to try to do something for thee, where we're trying to give you a return on your investment, that we'd recognize that people are going to resist, and give us wisdom how to respond to that, as you told the disciples that they need to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And I pray you'd help us to have discretion, discernment, in order to please you in that matter. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, historically, this letter's about the post-captivity rebuilding of the Jewish temple, and then the opposition that they experienced in chapter 4. Doctrinally or practically, whenever you're trying to, shall we say, build something for God, or it says in 1 Corinthians, take heed how you build thereupon, referring to your own spiritual house, then you're going to experience adversaries. So adversaries in this, and we need to have wisdom, know how to deal with that. Practically, in a building situation, if you have a building, as we do, sometimes you have to deal with government agents that are stepping outside of authority, or we're on the street corner holding signs. Sometimes, on occasion, a government agent will step outside of their authority. If you're on public area property, and then you got to know how to respond. So, like in sports, the running back faces a lot of oppositions trying to get a touchdown. Okay, and so when we're trying to, quote, get a touchdown for the Lord Jesus, then we're going to face opposition. Okay, the running back that retaliates, okay, and then either gets a flag thrown on him, he's gone too far, or maybe gets kicked out of the game. Okay, and sometimes believers get kicked out of the game, per se. And so the Lord wants us to recognize the opposition, and then we need to discern, okay, is this battle big enough for the war? Sometimes you can lose a battle to win the war. And so that's where wisdom comes in play. Ezra 4, verse 1. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel. Okay, so here's the adversaries. So what adversaries often do is they try to make an alliance first. They try to make an alliance, and the intention of that is to delay the project. Then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do. And we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up thither. But Zerubbabel, so obviously Zerubbabel knew these people, and he knew that they were lying. They were feigning. It's a fake, saying, we seek your God. No, you don't. Okay, as we do. No, they didn't. And so Zerubbabel and Jeshua, the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel, said to them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God. Not a thing. Okay, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. And so this is one thing about in a ministry, especially on the mission field, okay, is that sometimes, especially in a very poor culture, third world culture, the people of that culture see American missionaries and they see dollar signs. And there's times you got to make hard decisions. Okay, now, Brent has been in Costa Rica long enough where some of the people will tell him, so-and-so is coming to church, they're going to ask for money, don't give them any. So some of the people actually let him know of others that are trying to get something for nothing. Okay, and the same goes in Africa, things like that. If the country is more prosperous, Australia, you don't see this as much. But there are times, and then you may not know it, but churches get phone calls from professional mooches. Oh, I'm in a down time. I'm a hard time. I just need some money to get to Tennessee. Well, go stand on a street corner and bum it. Okay, and so I've gotten to the point where I think word gets out, and we don't get too many of those calls. We used to. We don't get any too much anymore. And I just tell them, hey, we only help people we know. And those, sometimes you feel hard and calloused, but you're not helping those people who are professional panhandlers. You're not helping them. And you're wasting your money, and you're wasting your money for of your families. The Bible says, the righteous considereth the cause of the poor. So why are they poor? Okay, have they had some tough times? Okay, that's, you got to know the person. Are they poor because they're lazy? Well, appetite is designed to get a person to work. If you're not willing to work, neither should they eat. That's a Christian thing. So in this passage, Zerubbabel knew these people. He knew that they were not friends of the work. And then in verse 3, he gave the authority, King Cyrus, that is the highest human authority at that time, of who said that they could build. Verse 4, these people who claimed in verse 2 that they were seeking God as they did, notice what they did. The people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. So this is a common problem. Okay, and people will see this opposition and they will fear this opposition. I find it interesting. If you would, try 2 Timothy 4, verse 16. Okay, I remember hearing about a pastor down either North or South Carolina. He was trying to counsel a young man who had major mental issues. And through process of time, the young man committed suicide. And then the mother sued the pastor for $2 to $3 million. Okay, taking advantage of the situation. Okay, and I'm sure when people heard about that, they fled from that pastor as quick as they could. Because you get in court situation, people are afraid of that. And they will run from that. In 2 Timothy 4:16, I find it interesting that Paul experienced this. He understood this. So he says, at my first answer, okay, that's a legal determination. You have complaint first, answer follows. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. But then notice his attitude. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. He doesn't blame them for that. He doesn't blame them. And the Lord stood with him, verse 17. He understood that, and the same is true today. Courtrooms are intimidating on purpose, and people want to avoid them like the plague. Okay, so in verse 4, these people of verse 2 claimed to want to serve the Lord in the same fashion, but they obviously did not. And then this discouraged people. And then verse 5, and hired counselors against them. Counselors, it's a legal term, to frustrate their purpose. All the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Okay, so this is a common thing, and what do? You just keep moving forward. You just keep plugging along. Was it William Tyndale that when he would get a Bible published, and in those days it was so costly to publish Bibles. They didn't have the great benefits we have today. And some guy in the Catholic Church took upon himself a bishop or a cardinal, I forget what, and he would confiscate these Bibles. Okay, and then it got to the point where people weren't giving this Catholic guy the Bibles because they knew he was going to burn them. So then he was willing to pay for them. And so here this Catholic was paying twice the cost of these Bibles. And so he would pay twice the cost, and William Tyndale could go print two more at the price of one while this guy's burning them. Okay, and so he's frustrating the purpose. And so often when you and I try to do something for the Lord and it's been frustrated, God is keeping track of the account, and God is going to reward that party for staying faithful even during the frustrating times of somebody trying to stop the work. So the thing is, the Lord just says, stay faithful. Stay faithful. Can you imagine the backlash that Noah got building the ark? And I wonder how many people helped him by chance, where he hired him to build the ark and then died in a flood. I mean, that was a big boat. I don't think the average person could build that. I think he had to have some of them big guys, you know, come and help lift up some of that stuff. And then they died in a flood. Okay, so verse 5, they hired counselors. Verse 6. And the reign of Ahasuerus in the beginning of his reign. So this would be a lesser public official. Okay, and the lower you go on the public officials, the bigger egos they get. Usually if you go into a court setting like a Rensselaer, you have two courts. And one will say superior and the other will say circuit. So you think superior is higher than circuit, but it's actually lower. But their ego is they got to put that title on there. Okay, so he said, in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. Okay, now what's the statement that we hold to in America when you hear of an accusation? A person is innocent. Now, most of the time, people will say innocent until proven guilty, but it's better to say innocent unless proven guilty, because when you say until, that's implying guilt. And people, just because people think that you're supposed to answer questions, especially if you're talking to a police officer, and they say, I got nothing to hide, and I'm going to answer those questions. You don't realize that they could turn those answers around as they wish. I don't care how innocent you are. You can get online and watch it. Don't talk to a police officer. You can be respectful, and you could answer questions with questions, but do you know a police officer can lie with immunity according to the Supreme Court opinion of the United States? And we're not being rude and we're not trying to hide anything, but they will say you have a right to remain silent. Then that's what you do. You know, you hate to say that to people, and you tend to think that you're being disrespectful. You're not being disrespectful. You can still be polite and simply say, I choose not to answer. I choose to remain silent. You see, and I, you know, you hate to say these things, but sometimes you just got to be understand the rights that a person has. And so each situation, you got to ask the Lord for discretion. Okay, so we have an accusation. But it's an amazing thing how an accusation will go through the community and people will brand that person guilty when it's an accusation. They're not guilty until or unless proven innocent. They're not guilty. Yeah, they're innocent unless proven guilty. Okay, and so this is what we need to be praying for others. Okay, when a terrible accusation has been thrown against them. And this has happened to pastors and churches. Okay, and the Lord wants us to be faithful even during these bad times. There was two young men years ago. They spanked a child in a Christian school. And one boy served, I think it was 15 years, never been in trouble. And one, I think, served 10, I think one was 10 to 12 and the other was 15 or 20. And when the truth came out is when that child went home, the dad beat that child and he's the one that left the scars on that child's body. Not these two young men. Now, it's been told me that one of these young men has came out through the problem, through that trial, faithful to the Lord, and the other one, I think, gotten bitter over it. Okay, and that's tough. That's difficult. Okay, and then if you see like men like Richard Wurmbrand, 17 years in prison. You know, and then, of course, in history of England, you have, who was it? John Bunyan, and how he suffered in prison. People say, oh, that's a waste. You don't know. You know, what the Lord leads in a person's life, how things go. Okay, verse 7, and in the days of Artaxerxes wrote Bishlam, Mithredath, and Tabeel, and the rest of the companions unto Artaxerxes, king of Persia, and the writing of the letter was written in the Syrian tongue, interpreted in the Syrian tongue. Okay, so here we have something tucked in here, very unusual, and often a person will overlook this, but what have you and I been told in what language was the Old Testament originally written in? Okay, in Hebrew. So Ezra originally was written in Hebrew, and this letter is written in what language? Syrian. So if it has to go from Syrian language to Hebrew, that is a translation. And in the Hebrew, that would have been, according to their terms, an inspired translation. So if you write to Christian colleges and mention the King James Bible and how it's inspired, they will fire back. There's no such thing as inspired translations. But we have one example right there. Plus, you can throw out several. When Pharaoh and Joseph spoke to each other, what language do you think they spoke? When Moses and Pharaoh spoke to each other, what language do you think they spoke? But what language is it recorded? Okay, there's another example. In the New Testament, when it says, as it is written, that's going from Hebrew to Greek. Yes, a translation can be inspired. And yes, the old King James Bible is inspired. Okay, and so here, see how the Lord just kind of hides that in something that a person could overlook that.
Verse 8, Rehum, the chancellor of Shimshiah, the scribe, wrote a letter against Jerusalem to Artaxerxes, the king, in this sort. So you have political figureheads are going to write against the work of God, and sorry be for them when they hit the white throne judgment. And the Lord keeps account of these things. Okay, then wrote Rehum, the chancellor, and all those guys there. Verse 10, and the rest of the nations whom the great noble Asnapphar brought over and set in the cities of Samaria and the rest that are on this side the river. And at such, so this is the copy of the letter. Okay, so this is a copy of the letter written in the Syrian tongue. Now we have it in English. And they sent unto him even Artaxerxes the king. Now, when you read this letter, you can read into how political figures are manipulated or deceived to sign something. And the person will puff them up as there's some great thing, and then they'll just kind of, oh, their head gets real big, and they'll say, oh. Okay, and this is the process. Thy servants. What do you mean, thy servants? The men on this side of the river and at such a time. Be it known unto the king that the Jews which came up from thee to us are come unto Jerusalem, building the rebellious. Notice the wording. These rebellious. Oh, building a temple is rebellious when the king said you're supposed to build it? I would say not building the temple is rebellious because the king said to build it. Okay, but who is this Artaxerxes? Is he going to read the document by Cyrus? Probably not, because he's down lower and he's got a big ego. And so this is where a person has to try to ask God to guide you. Well, where's the battle in here? And do we need to... where's the big fish we want to work with here? Okay, for example, in Acts 16 and 22, I think it is, Paul, who knew the Roman law very well, in Acts 16, he got arrested unjustly. Okay, so he got arrested unjustly, and then the ones who arrested him did not know he was a Roman citizen. And so as he's in the pokey, and when it's the possibility of him being released, he brought up the idea about his Roman citizenship, me being freeborn. And boy, did they get nervous. Now, what Paul could have done at that point is he could have filed some papers and he could have had those public officials arrested and incarcerated. But he had bigger game. The bigger game was the ministry. And what he did is he just did enough to scare them so that he got free, had some liberty, and then he went out and continued the work of God. Okay? And so he could have done this, but it would have taken a lot of time. The ministry would have been, delayed. And so a lot of times these things you got to find, where's the big fish in here? And you go for the big fish. So in this case, these people are saying they're rebellious and the bad city. Bad city. I would have thought they'd have found a better word than that. Bad city. Bad city. Naughty, naughty city. Okay, and will set up the walls thereof and join the foundations. Be it known now unto the king that if this city be builded, and the wall set up again, then will they not pay toll, tribute, and custom, and so thou shalt endamage the revenue of the kings. What's that? The love of money is the root of all evil. So they hit him in a pocketbook. Okay, what gives the king right to get the money? The tolls, the taxes, the tributes, the custom. You don't have a right to do it. You and I don't have a right to do that, do we? It's kind of funny how people don't consider this. You know, the public school system is funded by violence. It's called property taxes. I don't like paying property taxes when 70% of them goes to a public school. We've never put a kid in a public school. Paying for somebody else's schooling. Now, if these folks want to put their kids in a public school, that's their right. But if they want it funded, why don't they fund it themselves? Well, if they think it's okay for the government to fund it forcibly the way the government is, why don't they go door to door and take a gun out and say, I want you to pay for my education? No, they're not going to do that. They're going to have somebody else do their dirty work. You see, and that's the thing is people don't think about these things. And then they have put a little sign, you know, supporting your public school. I already do. And then they stand at the stoplights and ask for money for band equipment or something like that. Can we stand at the stoplights, you know, like they do and put up our scripture sites? No, we can't do that. I mean, it's just, people just don't think about these things as far as this goes. And so they're pushing the money line with the bureaucrat. And of course, that's going to work. Now, because we have maintenance from the king's palace, well, how did the king give the maintenance? Well, the government created a job. No, it don't. Government don't create any jobs. They never do. They can't. A bureaucrat does nothing productive. All they do is take. And they don't even ask you to take. But you know, this in America, it's a very unique experiment, I guess you could say. But we can see how things are heading. But I personally would rather be the victim than a perpetrator. Come the judgment, I'd rather be the, you know, it's like Matthew Henry one time. You know, the famous man that wrote the Matthew Henry commentaries, you know, and all that stuff. He was traveling on a horse someplace and some robbers stole something from him. And he talked about it. And he said, well, I can praise the Lord. Well, how can you praise the Lord? Well, I was a victim and not the perpetrator. I can praise the Lord. I can praise the Lord they didn't murder me. I can praise the Lord that all they took was some money I had on me and I have more money elsewhere. He said, it's just a matter of how a person looks at it. So in verse 14. Now, because we have maintenance from the king's palace, and it was not meet for us to see the king's dishonor. Oh, wow. Piety foaming out their mouth. Therefore, we sent and certified the king. Oh, like you're really concerned for the king. That search may be made in the book of the records of thy fathers. So shalt thou find in the book of the records and know that this city is a rebellious city. So go back in history and read about this city. It's a rebellious city and hurtful unto kings and provinces, and that they have moved sedition within the same of old time, for which cause was this city destroyed by Babylon. We certify the king that if this city be builded again and the walls thereof set up by this means, thou shalt have no portion on this side of the river. So they're hitting the king, one, in his pride, two, in his luxuries. And can you imagine, I think what's going to be very interesting at the White Throne Judgment is to watch politicians, the Queen of England. Can you imagine? The Queen. Royalty. Prince Henry and Prince William. And the Lord saying, okay, get up here, you leech. No respect from the Lord. As he says, depart from me, you cursed in everlasting fire. You had a pretty cushy life on earth, but you're going to have a hot hell. You see, and people get accustomed, you know, oh, royalty. No such animal. The only royal individual is the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's just a matter of people just don't think about these things as far as this goes. Verse 7, then sent the king an answer unto Rehum the chancellor and to Shimshah the scribe and to the rest of the companions that dwell in Samaria and unto the rest beyond the river, peace. And at such a time, the letter which he sent unto us have been plainly read before me, and I commanded and searched. Hath been made, and it is found that this city of old time hath made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. So he's read the records and oh yeah, they have. There have been mighty kings also over Jerusalem, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river, and toll and tribute and custom was paid unto them. Give ye now commandment to cause these men to cease. So this is an order to decease and desist. And that the city be not builded until another commandment shall be given from me. Now, the commandment over this man has already given him the authority. So now what do? Do they voluntarily comply to this order? Do they keep building and just see what happens? Okay, and that's where a person has got to try to weigh your options. Verse 22, take heed now that ye fail not to do this. Why should damage grow to the hurt of the king? So, poor king. Yeah, give me a violin. Okay, then it said, then when a copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshah the scribe, these guys reveled in this. They went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them to cease by force and power. Okay, so now they didn't have a choice in the matter. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased until the second reign of the year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So they've been delayed. And I find it interesting, the next verse, there's two prophets, okay, and it's toward the back of the Old Testament, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. They encourage the people to get back and do the work. Okay, and that's often what it just takes. You know, holding a Bible verse sign is encouraging to people that goes by. We get the thumbs up, you know, things like that. That's encouraging to Christians who, you know, have never seen that before. And it's encouraging to people that's questioning the narrative going on with the vaccine. It's, oh, somebody else. And I don't, you know, I get the thumbs up for the vaccine ones. I'm in 100% agreement, one guy said to me. Okay, but they're not being told this on the media. So when somebody locally is willing to stand up, this is encouraging to other people. And that's why that young fellow stopped and talked to me and said, I'm trying to find like-minded people that I can network with. Well, you found it. So we hope we can be an encouragement to him. Okay, but of course, our focus here more is the book. And we use our liberty, that we could teach the book. Okay, so we'll stop there. Lord, I do pray and ask you'd help us to be faithful to your words. And I pray that you'd allow us to continue to use our liberties to promote your words. And if that liberty is taken away, that we could figure out other ways to be faithful to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.